Let's have some music in here, Boiler.
Sure thing.
I see the sunshine down, but I see only one. When I think I'm over you, I find I've just begun. The years move faster than the days. There's no more in the light. And how I miss those desert skies.
When this one post episode exploding Confederate sub,
exploding Confederate
submarine.
I don't know.
Oh, Tom Caruso was on this episode.
Yeah,
episode.
Have you seen him lately?
He looks awesome, dude.
That's when we talked about the many failed experiments in Confederate submarines. I remember that.
Oh, it was Dwarf Fortress. Dwarf Fortress is the first thing listed right there. You know,
is all over that shit.
Fable 2, Max Curse of the Brotherhood, Guacamelee, Shadowrun, and XCOM Enemy Unknown.
I think he started his own podcast, which did a couple episodes. I don't know if they did any more than that.
Movie of the Week that week. You guys remember? It's a good one. It's a classic.
The Confederate sub movie of the week?
Fuck. I don't know.
Dead Heat.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That's right.
That was the one I never watched.
Movie's awesome.
That is James's worst movie we've ever watched.
Fucking love that movie.
I would have to look at a list before I could figure out what the worst movie we ever watched was.
Yeah. Oh, Tom's on next week's episode too. Well, back then. We blow the lid off the video game industry, exposing its dark secrets and nothing but a pair of sunglasses. Kick Ass and Chew Adderall is episode 40.
Oh, that's gotta be the, what is the John Carpenter alien movie?
It did not say.
No, I mean, what is it?
Kick-Ass and Chew Bubblegum.
I know, but like, what is the actual name of the movie?
No, that's the one. That's the one where he puts on the sunglasses
they
and
yeah, they live. Live. Yeah. Thank you, Ish. I knew what movie we were talking about. I just wanted the name.
Episode 41 is my flat tire episode. Where you guys saved my life.
Yeah. Please don't leave me here. I'm scared.
I like to think that episode is this just in. Ish is super racist.
And then, I can't leave my car. There's black people outside.
The same dude asked me for a lighter and three times in about an 8-second period.
They're circling me like sharks.
And to him, it was the first time he'd ever asked each time.
I should go turn off the open sign.
Maybe he's stuck in some sort of time loop.
Oh, episode 42 is James's favorite of all time, the Marvel Puzzle Cast.
Benson, Arizona.
I don't think he was actually on that one. So. Was he?
I don't think he was. It was just me. I think it was just me, you, and Danny, so we talked about it the whole time.
My body's flying through.
Yeah, Matt, Ish, and Danny do, and they talk about it a lot.
To be there.
Yep. They just... What do you think of that new mechanic, the champion levels?
I really enjoy it.
Yeah, it's like totally like reopened the
game. I've championed
for me.
5 or 6 guys and
at least 5 dudes. Champion all the dudes.
I'm like 7th in overall in season points so far this season. After taking last, I play every other season.
Yeah, so
it's a good system.
Yeah.
So are we ready? Let's do this.
Lock it down.
Nintendo Dreamcast episode 91. John Carpenter is not in this episode. That's what we should name it.
He had a prior engagement.
Yeah. What hurts the most is I didn't ask a specific date.
Oh.
They're like, John Carpenter will not be available for this.
Nice.
So he's going to be busy.
Yeah. What is today's like 60th birthday or something?
2 days ago is his 68th birthday. 68. So he's got a year to live. So he's got to get like all his
yeah,
shit.
Yeah, by Hollywood standards, he's got a year left. Yeah.
The listener at home, maybe you figured it out, but James sent John Carpenter a request to be on this show.
Who's nice enough to respond?
Well, his personal assistant, Harry, was nice enough to respond.
Sean.
Still.
Yeah. But still, I mean, I assume a great many of them do not even bother fucking responding.
Yeah. Adrian Paul.
He just never responded, I guess.
Sure.
Yeah, but we were doing I was thinking since it was his birthday, we do like a John Carpenter spectacular. And I was like, you know what? It's worth just shooting out the email. He's probably done worse things. But yeah, could not get him on the horn. And we're doing we're gonna do Dark Star as a movie, but I feel bad because I didn't get to watch it because I was gonna watch it last night, and we ended up going and I went and saw Hateful Eight, and I didn't realize that Hateful Eight was almost 3.5 hours long.
Was it good?
It was really good.
Did you see it in 75 millimeter or whatever?
70 millimeter? No. Only one theater was showing it in 70 millimeter, and its showing was like super, like the last showing was like 6 o'clock, and I went at like 9 o'clock.
What is 70 millimeter? Is that like
actual film?
Yeah.
You know, when they used to use film to play movies instead of just send you a hard drive. But the movie was shot in 70 millimeter. It wasn't shot in digital, and it was meant to be screened in that format. And so there's like, they sent out a limited number of those, and there's one that's making the rounds in Cincinnati, but I think it was at, it wasn't at the Esquire, which surprised me. It was somewhere else. I forget like where exactly. Maybe. But yeah, I mean, it was just as good in digital. I don't really care about the format in which I'm watching the movie. It was really good. My biggest part, I know there's several different like levels of Tarantino fans, but for me, he does I'm a big dialogue person, and he just writes the best dialogue, in my opinion, in his movies. Like, this whole movie is 3 hours of dialogue and like 10 minutes of not dialogue. And just the conversations are very pointed, and he does a really good job of talking about like things that he wants to talk about without making it obvious that's what he's talking about. So they're always like, you know, tales and parables and shit that he's woven into his movies and the conversation. Like, for me, Kill Bill is my favorite Tarantino flick, as I'm sure a lot of people, but my favorite part of Kill Bill is that last 15 minutes where Bill's making a sandwich and they're talking about Superman and stuff and like the inevitability of what's about to come and death and everything. And I thought it was really well done. And I assume most people's biggest like thing is when she chops like 100 dudes in half, which was also like a really, really cool scene.
Just
visually
gushing blood.
Yeah.
Crazy.
But I just really, really like his dialogue. And I think he you know, I'm a big fan of reading, and I think that's as close as I get to reading a book visually is to watch a Tarantino movie.
And he always gets a really good performance out of whoever is reading his dialogue too.
Yeah, Kurt Russell. Oh my God. Like, I really, after watching that, I'm really sad that Kurt Russell stopped doing stuff like after the 90s, really. Because he just, I was telling Danny, it was almost like seeing Jack Burton as an old man. Very, very Kurt Russell. It was very, very awesome. And I don't know what it is about Samuel L. Jackson, but there's no other director that gets the level of performance out of Samuel L. Jackson that he does. And it's not even like close. Like, if you see Samuel L. Jackson in other movies, it's like, I am Samuel Jackson. But in a Tarantino movie, it's like 2,000%.
You can tell he's trying to do what Tarantino would tell him to do, yeah, like in the other movies he's in. But
And I think Tarantino writes, like, knows how to write him better than anybody else. So it's like very specific, like, this is you. And yeah, he's just one of those directors, like with Uma Thurman, Samuel Jackson, like he writes for those, you know, those actors. But this is probably, including like Pulp Fiction, Jackie Brown, like this is Samuel Jackson's best performance under Tarantino.
That's by far. Awesome.
Yeah, but I highly recommend it. 18 thumbs up. For me, the worst Tarantino movie is probably Inglourious Basterds, in my opinion, which I still liked.
Yeah.
But it's like down at the bottom for me. It's like bleh. But I would put Hateful Eight, like, probably for me, I go Kill Bill, Reservoir Dogs, and Hateful Eight.
What was the sleeve one? I can't remember.
Django.
Yeah.
I like Django better than Inglourious Basterds and Jackie Brown, but less than most of the others.
Yeah. See, that's fair.
But this movie, you definitely go see it. If you can catch it in the theaters, see it in theaters. It's a treat. Yeah. It's one that, like, it's very intense, like, requires, like, a lot of, like, it requires your attention. And seeing at home, you know, might not.
You think it'll still be there next weekend?
Yeah, I think it'll probably play out for the rest of January.
All
right. It is good. But yeah, that's what I did instead of watching Dark Star, unfortunately. But I feel like Danny's really going to lay it on us. And
I did not watch Dark Star.
You didn't? Mm. I watched it a long time ago.
Really, Danny has called it John Carpenter's worst work.
Yeah, I mean, that's not what I'm saying, much as I've liked everything else we've watched for him. Well, but it was just...
I was really surprised because I looked at the, like, there's like four movies of his that I haven't gotten to see yet. Or just haven't had the opportunity or whatever. And that one got like... low 80s, like on Rotten Tomatoes, they get like 7.5 on IMDb. Like, it aggregated really well. Like, the reviews seem really good.
I just found it dull. Thank God it was only an hour and 20 minutes.
It was the inspiration for a lot of shit. Like, Red Dwarf. I don't know if you've ever seen that British show.
Yeah.
It's totally inspired by it.
Is that the one where he's like the last guy in the. Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay. I've seen episodes of that over the years.
It was like one of the first movies to do that hyperspace sequence where the stars, like, go rushing past the ship.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And Star Wars stole that.
I guess it wasn't a terrible movie, but it's just the whole thing takes place on this spaceship, and it's like shot in a very classic like 1974 sort of aspect, and the spaceship is not well lit. Like, there's like whole rooms that are just lit by like one red light and stuff like that, and it just hurts my eyes like looking at something like that. I don't know. It was like partially the film quality, like the quality of the video, that was kind of annoying, but also it was like maybe what James might like it, because it was like all dialogue basically. Yeah. It's just them talking about dumb shit the entire time. There's like a couple action scenes, but it's like when he's like chasing this alien around, but it's just not very interesting.
Is this you? Nope. I'll have to look into that.
Yep. Sam48734007952 email IvarMick10@yahoo. Sounds like a Russian.
Can you forward that to me?
Yep. User registration. He has our info.
That should not be possible. Go home and change the password.
Feel like we're about to be a porn host.
I was just on there today. Seems all right.
Is there any social media aspects to it?
When did that come in?
Just now. This second.
Can you take a break? Damage control?
No. I mean, it's Bluehost's responsibility in the end, so.
Yeah.
So did you want me to talk more about the movie than that?
Yeah, I figure we'll hit it at the end.
Oh, gotta have the rundown.
Yeah, we got the rundown.
Yeah, I just didn't want to ruin it for you guys since you haven't seen it.
Oh, no, that's fine.
We've had lots of requests for Danny to have his own podcast running down movies. I'm sure we have.
Danny synopsis. So what did you guys play this week? Let's start with Ish.
I played no video games this week. The only thing I played this week was Magic the Gathering.
All right. Yeah, you did really well. We had our Oath of the Gatewatch pre-release here at the store, and Ish's team came in first place.
Woot, woot.
I think Anthony's team came in first place.
Shut your poor mouth, Danny. Wow. No, the first game, he definitely pulled my lifeless dead body through the game, and we won. After that, I kind of held my own.
What was your play, Danny?
More of the same. I actually haven't played a whole lot of Fallout 3 lately. I think I'm just starting to get disinterested in it, which means I need to quickly jump on and just run through the main quest as quickly as possible so I can get that out of the way. But I played more KOTOR than anything else.
Oh, you liking it?
Ooh, how's coming along?
Good. I mean,
have you hit the big twist yet?
No.
Not that far.
I think I'm 10 or 11 hours into the game. I became a Jedi and found the star map, and they're like, you got to find the rest of the star maps. So I went to Tatooine and tried to fight some stuff, and it all annihilated me. So I was just like, I'm just going to go to a different planet. I went to Korriban, and that was much easier. So I'm just annihilating stuff on Korriban right now.
Yeah, Tatooine. The sand people are really, really difficult. Yeah. And you have to fight a fucking crate dragon on Tatooine. It's a really hard boss fight.
Yeah. So I gave up on Tatooine. Probably going to leave that for last or second to last, depending on how bad Mantine is or whatever.
Tatooine and Kashyyyk are the hardest, in my opinion. Okay.
You go to Dantooine on that one?
Yep. To Dantooine first.
That's what I thought, yeah.
And then I still have one mission on Dantooine, where it's you have to fight the head Mandalorian gang boss or something. He was really difficult, so I'm like, I'll come back to this guy.
Yep.
But I built started my character out as a scoundrel and built him completely for range damage. I had no idea I was going to become a fucking Jedi in the middle of the game. So I have 10 brawn, and I'm like, yeah, I think I'm just going to keep using blaster pistols. Yeah. So I looked at.
If you do the Sentinel, there's a finesse where you use your dexterity for your lightsaber.
Oh, are you serious?
No. It's the first thing you can choose to.
I read about the Guardian and Sentinel, and I decided I'm probably not going to be able to do either one of those. So I just went the Counselor because it gets tons and tons of force powers.
If you do the Sentinel, there's an option because the Sentinels are pretty much rogues. So there's a finesse option, so you use dexterity.
I wish I would have known that.
Yeah, you can, if you get a Sentinel with a Dex lightsaber and a double blade lightsaber, you pretty much just mow through shit.
Yeah, I just keep using my blaster pistol for the most part, and then just force power people.
Yeah, as a counselor, you're pretty much a mage, so you just force lightning the fuck out of everything.
Right now I'm just going down the light path, so I have heal, and heal makes so many battles so much easier.
Yeah.
Especially when you can cast it 8 times because I have so much force energy.
Have you gotten Jolie Bindo in your party yet?
Jolie Bindo. Is that the Catwoman or?
No, he's a black Jedi.
Yeah, you find him on Kashyyyk.
Actually, I would go there next because he's, in my opinion, the best character in the game.
I haven't found him yet.
And he's a really good. He's a really good character.
I think he's the last guy. I haven't gotten the guy right in the middle.
I guess you're going light side playthrough, right?
Yeah, I'm just going to do the light side this time.
I like the light side playthrough better myself. So what'd you play, Matt? What'd you get into?
I played Fallout 4. I'm fucked on that. I'm level 72.
Holy shit.
I'm not even 50 yet.
I'm gonna go until you can't go anymore.
Pretty much. I just I don't know.
Do you have everything unlocked? All powers, all that attribute points and stuff?
Not everything, no.
Yeah.
Probably about half of it unlocked. So I don't know. Just enjoy spending a couple hours wandering around the wasteland shooting shit.
That's the best part.
Yeah. Responding to my settlement.
I was gonna say you help still do the settlement alerts.
Are you still not played it yet, Dish?
No. Yeah, so played a lot of that. Played some Grim Fandango Remastered.
Nice.
I don't know. That game is super old. It's really kind of obnoxious to play.
Feels dated.
Yeah. So played about an hour of that, and it's I'm done. So that's cool. That's about it.
I started playing Suikoden Tigris, or whatever. It's pretty good. It's very Suikoden-y, except they took out the rune system, which is kind of annoying. So, but there's still like magic powers and stuff. I only got to play like an hour of it, but so far it looks pretty cool. Other than that, it was pre-release for a new Magic the Gathering set, so I was here all weekend. It was very tiring.
Yeah.
What we got in the news this week, man? Video game news, Danny?
Danny actually is the one who pulled most of the news.
Yeah, I just like jumped on real quick and tried to pull a bunch of stuff. We are in that one of the three or four video game voids that occur during the year, like...
Yeah.
Where I usually just end up spending this time playing like legacy games that I missed out on, like KOTOR and stuff like that.
Really, really surprised we haven't heard anything about the NX yet. I don't know what they're waiting for or what.
Probably E3. I mean, when is E3? Like June?
May or July?
Isn't it May?
May. I mean, I feel like that's probably what's everyone's saving up for right now. Like, why announce games now when you could just announce them at E3 and they'd get like 10 times as much attention.
I read a thing on one of the like the Pokemon subreddit where like people are very upset that they, you know, we got like X and Y, and then like last year was the first year in like 5 years in a row that they haven't released a Pokemon title in the fall. And someone claims to be a Nintendo insider, and the reason is because the next Pokemon title is a NX title because it uses the handheld portion of it or whatever. So I guess I can see that, but if it's not on 3DS, there's going to be some fucking problems.
Just a couple of different things we haven't talked about. I remember a long time ago we talked about how Square Enix launched a new division called they were calling Shinra for like mobile gamings, or it's either like mobile cloud gaming. But they couldn't find any investors to like fund any of the projects, so they just closed it. They're not doing cloud gaming anymore.
Oh, jeez.
You posted an article about a bunch of fixes they're doing in Fallout 4, like fixing the MacReady perk pat bug and stuff like that.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Like, I have nothing in perception because, like, I don't need it because of that bug. So I've, like, been steadily trying to build up my perception because once they fix that bug...
What's that bug do?
It makes your like every headshot like a 95% chance of getting it.
And you played Devil's Third, didn't you, Ish?
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Sorry. Were you Devil's Third? Have you guys heard about this at all?
I heard that it was one of the worst games. Like that, they tried to sweep it under the rug. It was so bad.
I remember we talked about it in that respect.
I've played two levels of it. It starts out you play as a guy named Ivan, and a buddy of mine said it was really good, so that's why I picked it up because apparently it's kind of hard to find now. But I found it at a Walmart in Carrollton, Kentucky. And so I bought it, and I was playing through it, and just the game itself starts. You play as a guy named Ivan who's covered in tattoos, and it like pans down on a prison. I want to say it's like Poland or somewhere. You're in a prison. I forget the exact. It has like gulag. Yeah. So it goes to the basement of the prison, and you're doing like a drum solo in your cell, like in a set of drums. And then all of a sudden, like as it's panning through the prison, you can see that there's fires, there's a riot going on. It doesn't really give any details and stuff, and then. When you get in, like, this hollow screen appears in your cell, and it's like a U.S. general pops up and says, I need you to get out. I need you to come see me. So that's, so far, that's the only thing I've been given is I'm trying to make it out of the prison. And, yeah, he just has crazy moves. You can shoot guns, and, you can choose to go bullet mode on any shot that you take. So, like, you shoot it, and you'll follow the bullet to wherever it hits, which is pretty neat. And then, like, there's some bullets you can get that when you shoot people... They leave like trackers in them, so you can track them later and stuff if they're trying to run away. But I've done two levels. I'll talk more about it after I beat it. But I haven't been playing much.
There's not a whole lot of gaming news, but there's a lot of tangential sort of nerd news. Like the next expansion in D&D's like adventure sets is going to take place in Ravenloft, which is the big vampire world in D&D.
Yep. I was surprised. I figured they would hold it back for like the fall to get that Halloween release in, but
yeah. We're getting season 2 of Jessica Jones, and if anyone wasn't sure about that,
I am super excited. Not only that, but I didn't realize season two of Daredevil is coming out so soon. So it's even, it comes out in March, which I've been looking, been following the production of that really closely. The dude from The Walking Dead as Punisher looks pretty sweet.
There's a game called Danganronpa that I've talked about before on the podcast. It was only on PSP or PS Vita or something like that, so I never got a chance to play it, but it's coming to Steam. It's just a, it's like a Japanese anime sort of visual novel where you're locked, everyone's locked into a school, and the only way to get out is to murder another student. And then they hold a mock trial, and then they execute someone as the culprit. And if you murder someone and don't get executed as the culprit, you get to leave. But that's the whole plot of the game.
Sounds like the worst.
Yeah, sounds very...
Yeah, it's a popular genre in Japan called a survival game.
Mm-hmm.
The only other thing, really, is that... the Microsoft is appealing to Supreme Court to hear a class action lawsuit against the Xbox 360 disc scratching issues. It was like a 2007 class action lawsuit. And it's like they're trying to get the Supreme Court to talk about it. Oh my God.
Did you guys ever have an issue with that? Or the 360, if it moved,
the laser would scratch.
Yeah, if it moved at all, it would put a ring right around the inside of the disc.
Yeah, I never personally had any problem with it.
Well, who moves their console when it's spinning? Like,
yeah, whatever. The only other thing I found that was interesting to me, at least, was that the Dark Cloud and Dark Cloud 2 were coming to PlayStation 4. They were both PlayStation 2 games that I really liked. I played through the first one entirely. I never finished the second one.
I just got an email from you.
Okay.
I thought they were really cool games. I don't know how expensive they're going to be on PS4, but if you haven't played them before, they're nice to check out. They have a sort of Minecraft-ish sort of feature to them. Not really. I mean, this is like PlayStation 2, but the part of the plot of the game is that whole towns have been like erased from existence, and you go into a dungeon and you unlock different buildings of the town. Like, you find them trapped in little crystals, and you come back to the surface and you put the towns back together. And you can assemble them however you want, but the different people that live in the towns will have requests, so you kind of have to feng shui your town. Like, they're like, I would like my house to face east, or something like that. And if you, like, finish all the requests, you get, like, a little bonus or something.
That sounds cool. Yeah. You've played that before, then?
Yeah, I've played Dark Cloud 1 all the way through. I've actually never finished Dark Cloud 2, and after I read this article, I remembered I had downloaded the torrent ISO for it like 2 years ago, thinking I might play it on my computer, but I never started it because I hated playing on a keyboard. But now that I have an Xbox One controller, I can hook my Xbox One controller up to it and play the game. So that's what I actually did for the last hour before I came here.
Nice.
Yeah. That's really all the news. I was loud.
What was that? All right.
Where am I?
Cool. Well, take us down the path of Dark Star.
All right.
John Carpenter.
So it opens up with a transmission being sent. It's like really, really like cheesy sort of like incoming transmission, like bleeping on the screen and stuff like that. And it's a black and white transmission of some guy from NASA, like talking to the crew of the Dark Star. And he's just like answering questions they sent beforehand. Apparently their commander Powell was recently killed by a radiation exposure when a part of the ship's hull got blown off or something in an incident. So they requested radiation shielding and it got denied because they couldn't get a transport ship out to fix their thing. And when the transmission ends, you're just taken. It's just four guys on this spaceship. And it's, like, really cheesy looking. It's, like, 1974, so it's, like, even worse than the original Star Wars spaceships in space, you know? Apparently what they do is they've just been flying around for the last 20 years blowing up planets. They do this because there's starting to make an effort to colonize worlds and other systems, but there are unstable planets, like planets that have like decaying orbit and stuff like that, where after like 2000 more cycles around the sun, their sun, that will, the path will crash into the sun because it's caused the sun to supernova. So it's not great if you're trying to habitatize that mm-hmm. system. So they fly around in space, as far as I can tell, all they've been doing. And apparently they've only blown up like 19 of them because they're on their 19th bomb. And all the what happens when the bombs come out is they just, the bottom of the ship opens up and it lowers it down. And all the bomb is, it looks like a freight like container with the number like 19 like brushed onto it. But they've given the bombs like AIs.
Okay, I thought they were robots.
The bombs like talk to them, like, and they're like talking back to the bombs. They're like, bomb, do you remember when you're supposed to blow up? And he's like, I am programmed to blow up in 6 minutes and 30 seconds. And he's like, all right, that checks out with us. So they don't even shoot the bombs. They just like drop them onto the planet.
Like a bomb.
Yeah. And then just like hyper jump backwards to get out of the blast radius. So that's what they do for the beginning of the movie, is just blowing up the first planet. And there's a little orb on top of the spaceship where this guy named Taubi spends all his time, and he just likes looking at the stars and stuff, and he makes like diameter approximations on planets before they blow them up. After that, it's just a kind of like slice of life story of four insane guys living on a spacecraft.
Yeah.
Like, they just get bored and do stupid crap. Like, they have a gun and they took like a big metal sheet off the heating unit and just shot at it for a little while. And then there's like, well, one guy's like just shooting it, and you're like, there's another guy called Pinback. He's like, you're not supposed to do that. It's not safe. And he's like trying to grab the gun away from him. Four guys are Taubi, Doolittle, Pinback, and Boiler. And Boiler is kind of the asshole of the group. Pinback is an idiot. And Doolittle is currently in command since Commander Powell died. When he's kind of lethargic, not really caring about anything except blowing up planets.
How did the commander die?
There was a malfunction in his chair, and it electrocuted him or something like that. And radiation leaked in through the back of his chair and killed him or something like that. And Pinback sits right next to where Commander Powell sits. So they had like a log they sent back to Earth, and he's like, Pinhead keeps like, I just thought of his name as Pinhead the entire time because he's like such a dumbass. He keeps leaning over, like trying to whisper in Doolittle's ear, and he's like, right, the Commander's Powell chair is still malfunctioning, and Pinhead hates it because he sits right next to it. That is all. Oh, and he's like, Container 9 self-destructed last week, taking out our entire supply of toilet paper. And
isn't all the food the same flavor or something?
Yeah, okay. I mean, it's like
everything on the ship is breaking.
They have like the ship is slowly falling apart, but they won't get, for some reason they can't get recalled back yet. They still have to blow up a whole bunch more planets before they can leave. But they've been doing for 20 years, though it's only been like 3 years on Earth or something like that, or maybe it's the other way around. 20 years on Earth, it's only been 3 years for them. Mm-hmm. Whatever that physics math is.
They always say like time dilates before they get from Earth.
Yeah, especially when you're jumping through hyperspace. But what ends up happening is they're en route to another planet they have to blow up, and they fly through some sort of electromagnetic asteroid field, and a laser gets damaged. A communication laser gets damaged in the back of the ship. And of course, like, everything's breaking, so they don't give a shit. They're like, whatever, we're just going to keep blowing up planets. And there's like, it spends like a good hour, maybe 45 minutes of the movie, following this story where Pinback had found an alien at one point in their travels and decided to keep it because he wanted to have it as a mascot for the ship. Mm-hmm. And I'm usually pretty impressed with John Carpenter's practical effects. The alien that they found was a painted beach ball. with two little legs glued onto it. That was the alien.
I'm going to Google this.
It's real ridiculous looking.
Yeah. And it just like completely fucks with Pinback. It just fucks him. It like jumps on his head and is just smacking him, and it escapes, and he spends a really long time chasing it. And at one point, the thing like flies over an elevator shaft, and he like puts a ladder down to climb over the elevator shaft, and then the thing flies back over it and then moves the ladder, and he's like, "Oh, son of a bitch." And he's like shimmying on one little like ledge on the elevator shaft, but the big fucking beach ball is blocking the path into where he needs to get back. He's like, "Move! Move, you fucking thing!" And then the elevator turns on and starts moving down, so he has to like hang on to the bottom of the elevator. It just goes up and down randomly for some reason, and he unscrews a little panel on the bottom and climbs through, but it's too small for his waist, and so he just starts pushing buttons on the elevator panel until one of them goes like, "We're gonna blow off the bottom of the elevator now," and he's like, "That sounds like a good idea," and he just presses one, and like it's like two little, there's like apparently these little exploding caps that blow the bottom of the elevator off, and that's how he finally gets out. And then he gets an anesthesia, like a little gun for the trank dart in it, and he shoots the little thing, and it just pops and just like flies like like a balloon. And he's like, "Apparently it was just hot air. How does it survive? It's just hot air." Probably the best part of the music movie is right at that part where Pinback tells his background story. He's like, "Do you want to know how I became an astronaut?" He's like, they're like, "You've told this story like 4 years ago, Pinback." He's like, "Oh, well, I'm not really Pinback. See, I applied to be an astronaut, but you need a score of 300, and I got a 53. So they put me on fuel maintenance." And he's like, "One day I was just cleaning some vats of fuel when this astronaut walks in stock naked carrying a spacesuit and just jumps into a tank of liquid fuel. And that not safe. This ain't safe. So I was gonna like jump in and rescue him, but first I put on his spacesuit and for like protection. And then this other astronaut runs up and goes like, 'Pinback, we need to get out of here. We're about to launch a space shuttle.' He's like, 'I tried to tell him I wasn't Pinback, but I couldn't get the spacesuit shit radio to work.'" And so that's how he ends up on this spaceship.
Totally Don Draper'd it.
He's just like a janitor that got put on a 20-year mission to blow up planets. And he has a video diary, and it shows his video diary. And like, the first entry, he looks like a total BA. He's like smoking a cigar, and he's got like a full head of hair. And he's like, "My name's not Pinback. It's like Earl Nansen. I was put on this mission by accident, and I want to get back on Earth as soon as possible." And then he's like, then like the next journal entry is like his hair is all disheveled, and it's like starting to fall out. And he's got like this like little tilt to his head, and he's like, "Hey, everybody." So he's obviously just gone crazy over the years. The movie ends when Taubi discovers the malfunction is a communication laser in the back of the ship, and it's in the emergency airlock, and he goes in to like fix it. And the computer even tells them, "Don't try to blow up another planet until you finish fixing this." But they are all sleeping, so they didn't hear it. And Taubi is trying to fix it, and they're just going on their way to launch another bomb. And during the course of the movie, the bomb has accidentally deployed like 3 times because the communication laser is fucked up, and it keeps giving the bomb the message to blow up. And it's like a sentient robot sort of bomb.
Yeah, it's a smart, smart bomb.
He's like, "Please. Let me explode." And he's like, "I'll go back inside, but this is the last time." And so they're deploying the bomb to explode, and at the same time, Taubi is trying to fix the laser, and there's like an accident, and he accidentally steps in front of it and disrupts the communication, and they aren't able to drop the bomb. So it's like got 20-minute countdown. But it's just still attached to the bomb bay doors, and it's like we're gonna die unless we can get this bomb to stop. And then like the bomb refuses to disarm, and he's like, "Not my programming to disarm. I'm going to explode in 14 minutes." So they have Commander Powell on ice, and have hooked him up to some sort of machine so they can talk to him while he's dead. And they're trying to ask him if there's any other way they can disarm the bomb. And Commander Powell tells them to teach the bomb how to disarm it, something. He, like, can't remember.
Engage in
philosophical discussion. So he does. He just Doolittle goes out in a spacesuit and starts explaining the basics of existential philosophy to this bomb. And he's like, "Do you exist?" And he's like, "Of course I exist." He's like, "What proof do you have that I exist?" Like, "I think, therefore I am." So it was intuitive that I exist. Intuition is not concrete proof. And he's like, "How? What proof do you have that anything exists?" And he's like, "My sensory relay tells me things exist." And he's like, "What if your sensory relay is giving you false information?" So he's like, "I never considered that. Maybe nothing exists." And he's like, "Exactly. So the order for you to detonate might have been false sensory data." And he's like, "I'll have to think about this." And he, like, turns off and goes back into the ship. And he's like, "Oh, wow, crisis averted." Meanwhile, Taubi's, like, still in the emergency room, airlock room, trying to fix stuff. So Doolittle goes, like, it'll be too hard for me to get back up to the top of the ship and go through the regular landing bay. Open up the emergency airlock." So when they open, Taubi just gets sucked out into space, and just, like, he's got a spacesuit on him, he's got no jetpack, so he's just flying out into nothingness. So Doolittle goes after him, and while that's going on, Boiler and Pinback check on the status of the bomb, and the bomb goes, like, "I am not listening to you. You are false information." And then he starts, like, quoting, like, Bible scriptures. And then he's like, "There was darkness, and I said, let there be light." It just explodes. So now the ship explodes, and Doolittle and Taubi are just, like, floating around in space. And Doolittle talked about earlier in the show, in the movie, his favorite thing back on Earth was, like, surfboarding. And earlier in the show, Taubi had told him that the system they were going to had a group of comets called the Phoenix Comets flying through it or something like that. And so Taubi's like, "Look, I see them. The Phoenix Comets, they're glowing." And there's, like, all these glowing lights in space. And he's like, he does this thing. He's like, "I have joined them, Doolittle. I have joined the Phoenix Comets. I will fly through the galaxy with them forever." Meanwhile, Doolittle is just kind of, like, on a collision course of the planet, and he's just going to burn up in the atmosphere as a flying star, falling star. And he's like, but he's flying through the debris of the spaceship, and he catches, like, a big plank of metal, and he's like, "Wait, Taubi, I've got an idea." And in the last scene of the movie, it's just him just surfing through space on this damn piece of surfing metal.
Yeah.
As he crash lands on the planet.
I was actually reading about it on Wikipedia, and you know it's a comedy. It's like 100% a comedy.
I know.
It's a dark comedy. Yeah.
Well, I was also reading about the beach ball, and they, like, I guess they made another alien, but it wasn't funny enough. Like, nobody laughed at it. So they decided to just make an outlandish ball.
It had to be a comedy. There was no actual, like, tension or horror in the entire movie. It just found it dull.
It was supposed to be a 68-minute student film, and it killed at, like, the film festivals. And so some guy bought it and asked them to add, like, another 15 minutes on to make it feature length. So they tacked a bunch of, like, stuff onto it.
It just does not age well.
So it took it from really good student movie to kind of mediocre feature release. So
it just doesn't age well.
Interesting. Yeah. Well, I'll have to watch it, because you made it sound very entertaining. So now I actually want to
see. I do like that movie. It is one of the worst.
It's one of the few John Carpenter movies I've never seen. So I want to see it.
Yeah. Benson, Arizona.
Do like its theme song. It used to be on YouTube. I was hoping to watch it there, but not anymore.
They open and close the movie with that song, a song called Benson, Arizona.
I was looking to see, like, what John Carpenter related video game stuff there is out there, and I did not know, but he narrated Fear.
Oh, really?
Like Fear 3. Yeah.
I had no idea.
And evidently,
Fear games rock.
And evidently, he's huge into video games. He puts out a yearly top 10 list.
Yeah.
Yeah, with like Giant Bomb or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah, which I thought was kind of cool. He talks about like what he would make and what video games he likes and stuff. Evidently, he really, really likes Borderlands and Assassin's Creed.
Of course he does.
And Far Cry. Those are like his three video game franchises.
I don't know. I always thought he'd be more of a Fallout fan, actually.
He liked Dead Space a lot. He likes he hated Skyrim and Fallout because he's narration based gameplay.
Oh, right.
So they don't have any, like, you know what I mean?
Right. He's super into narrative and there's not a whole lot of that.
A story. Like he talked about Dead Space for a really long time and how he thought it was one of the best like horror games.
Oh, it's great.
Dead Space is awesome.
Yeah, the original Dead Space is great. Two is still not bad either. Three I did not like.
I've not played two or three.
Three is poopy.
I played one and two. I like them both quite a bit.
Like three got up too up its ass about like customization and free exploration and stuff like that.
It was on his list. He said, how could he pass up snow and horror? I guess it takes place on like a snow planet.
Eventually.
Yeah.
But yeah.
I guess I could see that. It does. I mean, I never finished playing it, but it does become sort of like a thing, sort of.
He said he was very like open to doing his own like video game series and stuff, which would probably never happen, but I'd like to see it happen. Especially with like what happened with Guillermo del Toro. I think just the video game industry, like the profit margins are outrageous and they don't want to cut into their margins by bringing in like film directors and stuff, you know?
Yeah.
They don't really, I mean, in like to bring somebody like John Carpenter and Del Toro in, like you have to have a certain amount of money in your budget and they still sell like anytime they shit out a video game, they sell 2,000,000 copies of it. So they're like, why?
At the same time,
why fuck with my margins?
John Carpenter could totally make like a shitty video game with like RPG Maker, and it would probably be awesome.
Yeah, yeah.
Did you ever play the Thing game?
No,
I did.
It was okay.
On the original
Xbox.
It's
supposed to be like a classic game that nobody played.
Yeah, I liked it. I bought it just because of Thing. I played it on my Xbox over Christmas break in like 2002.
It's supposed to have like great. A lot of like emergent gameplay type stuff in it.
So. It was scary as shit.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yep, yep.
What else we got, guys? What else is going on?
Yeah, that was your week.
That was good. So busy. So busy.
Yeah.
I want to do more for John Carpenter's birthday, but maybe we'll save it for our 100th episode. We can have a John Carpenter Highlander episode. I still haven't heard back from Adrian Paul, but maybe we can get him in. Maybe I'll have to just do it. Maybe I'll have
this is not a job.
You're a business owner. He'll trust you more than Ish.
Yeah. I'm just some shady, weird, chubby guy.
Ish just wants to get him into a porno. He does a lot of Russian films now. He's probably into it. But yeah, whatever.
Does he?
Yeah. He does a lot. Because I follow him on Facebook, he's always in Russia making like really cheesy sci-fi movies. Because Highlander's one of the shows that gets syndicated in Russia, so he's very popular in Russia.
I don't know what we can talk about. Did anybody watch Z Nation yet?
Nope. Oh, is season 2 out?
Yeah.
No.
Is it on Netflix?
Yeah, yeah. It came on 2 days ago.
I think. What?
Yeah.
Oh, I know what I'm doing tonight.
It's so good. It's better than last season.
I haven't watched it yet. I just finished Clone Wars, actually. I forgot about that.
Oh, really? What'd you think?
The end of season 5 and season 6 were pretty good. The rest is just like bleh.
Oh man, I think it's all pretty good.
I wasn't interested in the like adventure of the week sort of episodes. Yeah. I liked the end of season 5 and season 6 because they actually started tying it into the canon of the universe. Like when Fives almost discovers Protocol 66 in the beginning of episode. In the beginning of season 6, that was like the most entertaining trilogy of episodes for me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And like Yoda learning how to become a force ghost was tangential, but at least semi applied to the main story.
Kind of explained why he was such an idiot in the. Like he got a lot more wisdom through that experience.
Yeah.
And that largely took place after the first two movies. He was kind of dumb.
I think my favorite series of episodes was when Obi-Wan Kenobi went to prison.
Oh, yeah, that was good.
Yeah, I really liked that one a lot.
Yeah. That was long. So I think that was probably season 5.
I like the Darth Maul episodes generally a lot of
them. Yeah, that's true. Like, that's what I liked about season 5 and season 6 is I felt like previous seasons, they didn't do as much arcs as they... Maybe season 4 is where they started the arcs. But, like, season 1, 2, and 3 were just sort of like, this is the war we're fighting today. And it would just be, over, like, the whole climax would be over by one or two episodes. Once they, like, started doing multiple episode series, it got a lot better. More, like, movie-ish.
The episodes with the episode of the Younglings where they went through the Jedi training ritual. And
yeah, it was not bad.
I like that. I like that one a lot.
In season 2 of Z Nation, is the guy that controls zombies back?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, he's awesome. There wouldn't be a show without him.
Yeah.
Just like a guy with 40 different phobias.
I also watched most of season 2 of Helix, and doesn't hold up as well as the first season.
Oh, really?
I've been watching season 7 of Parks and Recreation because I didn't realize there was a season 7 of Parks and Recreation.
Takes place, what, 30 years? Or
no, it's just 2017. Years. Yeah, 3 years
in the future. So. I'm trying to think of what happens in this season. They go through the land war with Grizzled.
Yeah. Well, like, the whole season is kind of funny because it's just predicting stupid pop culture fads and stuff like that. Like, what's his name? Who's the...
John Ralphio?
Yeah. Well, like, that guy.
I love John Ralphio.
I was just going to... Shia LaBeouf is apparently the biggest name in pop culture. Like, yeah. He does. Yeah. Like, he's like... He designs, like, wedding dresses. He's got his own jewelry line and stuff like that. They're always like, "It ain't he, you think a Shia LaBeouf dress is cheap?" Found that amazing.
Is he actually in it?
No, he's never in it.
The last episode made me cry.
I haven't seen it yet.
That's good. Who's your favorite character at the Parks and Rec office?
I think everybody's favorite is Ron Swanson.
Yeah, I guess it has to be Ron Swanson. Tommy's pretty good most of the time.
I like Aubrey Plaza's character. I've only seen a few episodes, yeah.
Tommy.
Tommy Haverford.
The best part...
Tom, okay.
Yeah.
Best part, I think, one of the best bits in the show is when... They show Ron that you can, like, Google Maps, like, street view his house, and he just takes the computer and, like, rips it off the desk and runs outside and throws it into the trash. Yeah.
Well, in season 7, Grizzle has, like, the Amazon drone delivery system set up, and he shows up at Leslie's house with a shotgun and a drone in one hand. He's like, "We," because, like, a drone found his house, so he shot out of the sky.
I like it when it was season 6 when they're he's like Tom put all my music on this rectangle. I love this rectangle. That's an iPad. He's going like noise canceling headphones on.
What's wrong with your arm, James?
I cut it up.
Like, on purpose?
Yeah, I'm a cutter.
Just your hatred for the world?
Just a badass.
The trials and tribulations of being a private business owner. He's got to give himself penance at night.
Lonely at the top.
I'm just... Most of my penance comes from lack of money, so...
Yeah. Being a parent is very similar.
This is just a giant child that I take care of.
I'm taking Charlie to Totter Otterville tomorrow afternoon if you want to go.
Totter Otter?
I would love to. I have to work.
Lame. Tell your wife.
Throw to bring the kids. Her and Ish could have dates while you're at work. Yeah. Take their kids.
I've only ever hung out with Faith multiple times, and Matt's never been there. Jeez. Yeah, the multiple times I've hung out with her, Matt's never been around.
I'm not leaving this player alone with my wife.
Oh, yeah, I'm a player, all right.
It's gonna play. What else is happening out there in the world, guys?
We didn't talk about the multitude of celebrity deaths that occurred within the first couple of weeks of 2016.
Too soon.
Who is first? Was it Lenny Kravitz?
Lemmy from
Arrowhead.
Then David Bowie.
Bowie.
I felt really bad when David Lemmy died. And I didn't give a shit at all. And I was like, "Shut the fuck up, Facebook!" And the day Bowie died, I was like, "Oh my god!"
See, and that's what you get for not.
I think the most recent one is Bear Grylls. Or what was his name?
Bear Grylls not dead.
Bear Grylls didn't fucking die.
I wish he had died instead of Alan Rickman.
There was someone else that died.
Yeah. If Bear Grylls could have taken David Bowie's place, I would pee down his throat all day. You're talking about Grizzly Adams, right?
Grizzly Adams, yes.
Not Bear Grylls.
Oh, yeah, the guy who played Grizzly Adams died, yeah.
And then the founder of the Eagles died today. What's his name? I don't give a shit because the Eagles are the worst fucking band in the world.
Yeah.
Seriously, like, one of my pocket fantasies would just be sledgehammer Don Henley's face in, like, for a solid 20 minutes. Just Don Henley in an abandoned factory, me with sledgehammer. That's how much I hate Don Henley and the Eagles.
Yeah, the Eagles fucking blow. Hotel California is a terrible song.
I'm super pissed at all these, like, shit bags are dying and they're just ruining David Bowie's funeral attention.
Yeah, it's weird how many people, like, just die, like, the beginning of the year.
Well, they got to make it to the next year and then they all die, you know? Yeah,
that's probably
true.
They
can just make it to 2016.
Cancer, like, your mindset is, like,
yeah,
like 20% of your battle. So.
Yeah.
I can see that.
All right, let's end it on that note.
always like to be played out.
All our listeners that have cancer or any kind of other disease, just make it to 2017, and then you can immediately die. Bye.
Bye.
Good night.